forbidden and banned, the bane of bureaucrats, exposing mainstream media's weapons of mass distraction.
Flying under the radar and dropping truth bombs on tyranny.
It's Liberty Now.
But I wanted to point your attention to the aquaponics system. I've talked about that in the past. You can see right now I've got a bumper crop of cayenne peppers growing here. They're just about ready to ripen and turn red. And I've got some Anaheims right here and some bell peppers growing back there, if you can see them. They call them capsicum here in New Zealand. Hello and welcome to Liberty Now, the podcast for discerning minds and common sense. We'll look beyond the headlines and false narratives of the dying, corrupt legacy media. We seek the truth and can think for ourselves. Thank you. Please be sure to subscribe to this show on your favorite podcast player app. And don't worry about taking notes while you listen. You can get all the links, files, and show notes for this episode at libertynow.com. Well, welcome back, and thank you so much for sharing this podcast. Noticing that the numbers have been picking up quite a bit, especially a lot more listeners in Hungary just recently. You guys must really be awake. So shout out to my friends out there in Hungary. So today's title is Got Greenhouse. And before I play the clips that I recorded earlier out there in the greenhouse, I wanted to share some recent news you might have heard about. Maybe not so much if you're not in the U.S., but it's about the new bill passed in Tennessee, House Bill 2063 and Senate Bill 2691. Here's an article I'll read you a little bit about from the Gateway Pundit, and I'll give you the link in the show notes for today's episode, of course, at libertynow.com. The bill's purpose is to ban the intentional release of chemtrails into the atmosphere for geoengineering purposes. It was sponsored by Representative Monty Fritz, Republican from Kingston, and Senator Steve Sutherland, Republican from Morristown, and won the approval in the Senate on Monday, the Tennessean reported. The legislation is predicated on the claim that, quote, it is documented the federal government and other entities are acting on the federal government's behalf or at the federal government's request, may conduct geoengineering experiments by intentionally dispersing chemicals into the atmosphere, and those activities may occur within the state of Tennessee. This new bill seeks to outlaw any such activities, stating that the intentional injection, release, dispersion by any means of chemicals, chemical compounds, substances, or apparatus within the borders of this state into the atmosphere with the express purpose of affecting temperature, weather, or the intensity of sunlight is prohibited. Did you hear that, ladies and gentlemen? The bill seeks to outlaw activities that intentional injection, release, or dispersion by any means of chemicals, chemical compounds, or substances, or apparatus into the atmosphere. So remember when chemtrails were just a conspiracy theory? I've been on this jag for a long time. I used to think that it was a conspiracy theory myself until I started paying attention to the skies overhead. My cousin Carol, God bless her, she had started talking about it when she was living in California. And I thought, well, you know, the contrails, as we used to call them, looked a little different, you know, recently. This was probably 10 years ago. But ever since I've been paying attention to it, I've really noticed. And I'm one of those people who's always looking up at the sky. I've always been fascinated with aviation and airplanes, anything that flies. And so I pay attention to things that fly by overhead, and I'm really into aviation and all that. But I have noticed, you know, when I was a kid, contrails or condensation trails actually used to disperse. You'd see a jet going across the sky, and then a few miles behind it, the condensation trail would continue to evaporate at an equal rate. And, you know, as soon as the jet was gone past the horizon, no more contrail. Well, not so anymore. And it's really hard to convince people, especially younger folks today who have grown up seeing these trails in the sky from jets that never go away. And they, in fact, they just sort of get larger and eventually start to dim the sky or, you know, grow into these bigger blankets of clouds that persist like all day long. And it just hasn't always been that way, folks. If you remember, if you look back or you check out old movies or old video footage, you can see the jets, the trails go away. And I've seen so many debunking articles trying to dismiss this all as just conspiracy theory. Why would they spray anything on us? They're not spraying chemtrails. But that's really misleading. If you look up the patents, you can go into any patent search and look for patents that exist right now for geoengineering. And it's a very real thing. In fact, weather modification has been going on for years, but we somehow still want to deny it or we don't want to think about it. But I remember, in fact, when I first started paying attention to these things was in Seattle. This was before we moved to New Zealand, probably 10, 11 years ago. And I remember I was working out in the backyard on my greenhouse, as a matter of fact, which I'm going to show you my one here today. But about 8 o'clock in the morning, I was out there working and it was a clear blue sky, not a cloud in sight. I mean, pure blue. I looked around and zero clouds. Beautiful summer day. Sun was shining, probably about 80 degrees outside by the time noontime. But right around noon, or maybe 10 or 11, a little earlier, I started seeing jets going by, and I did notice the trails going behind them, and they weren't going away. They weren't evaporating, and they just persisted and hung there. And I noticed that jets were going like in a crisscross pattern, and it didn't look like normal aviation traffic. In fact, some of these jets were changing direction and going back the other way, which wouldn't seem like a normal traffic pattern if you were going to a particular destination. So some of them at least looked like they were up there basically crop dusting. But anyway, after seeing hundreds of these trails, by the end, probably by about 2 in the afternoon, the sky was just gray. I mean, it was dirty brown. It looked like Los Angeles in summertime. And I've never seen that kind of a sky in the Northwest in Seattle. But I have seen it in the dirtier, bigger cities like in LA. So I was quite convinced that there was definitely something going on from that point. Anyway, this new legislation, if this is such a conspiracy theory, it's interesting that Tennessee would be legislating against a myth. It's like Tennessee banning Santa Claus. It just, they wouldn't spend the time legislating things like that if they weren't real. And yet, even now, CNN and the mainstream media still deny it and think we're stupid or just trying to wear us down through gaslighting. I just did a quick search on Google, which we know is broken now. Headline from CNN, "The truth behind those white streaks trailing behind jets in the sky." And the article goes on to explain that those are just condensation trails, you idiots. And then it also talks about, well, yes, there is weather modification, but that's not what you're looking at in the skies. But I know a lot of you already know this, but my goal here with this podcast is to empower you with evidence and truth so that you can share the hard truth with friends and family and give them some of the evidence that this stuff is actually going on. And for those of you or those people you know or care, or they think maybe it's a good thing for the sake of global warming, you know, you might ask them some simple questions like, okay, if this is going on, who gets to decide what is the best or safest method of handling quote unquote global warming? And who pays for it? Did you get to vote on this? Do you know what chemicals are being used? What are the side effects on our health and the environment down here on the ground? And if it's really working, why aren't we hearing about the successes? Why is climate alarmism still getting louder and not abating at all? And if it's so great, why is it so secret? Why are they denying it? Just a few questions for you. This has been one of those issues quietly going on in the background and doesn't get as much attention because we've got so many things competing for our attention down here and so much noise and things like, World War III. And I guess there's really only two things we can do about this, but we can do something about it. Number one, get pissed and tell people about it. Share the links in the articles. And I get why some people, want to look the other way and bury their heads in the sand or tune out and watch Netflix all day. This isn't really happy stuff. I think Solomon said it best in Ecclesiastes 1, verse 18, "For in much wisdom is much vexation, and he who increases knowledge increases sorrow." Ain't that the truth? But we can't fight the enemy that we don't know about. And number two, if you can, where you can, try to grow at least some of your own food undercover in a greenhouse, or even things like growing herbs in the windowsill in your own home. And also just make sure you wash off your veggies, organic or not, and try to minimize your exposure to whatever they're spraying on us. I believe one of the chemicals is aluminum dioxide. If you look up the patents online, I'm sure you can find more details about that. Anyway, that's what got me going on this jag today. So I wanted to show you around my greenhouse, not really as a how-to or demonstration of a DIY project, other than just to give you some ideas and get you thinking about what you can do in your situation. So, all right, let's get into it. Let's get outside.
Hello, Liberty lovers. It's John Verd, trainer, piper, Navy diver, and Liberty lover. And back to the podcast again. Part of the reason for being away is not only was I on holiday, but the piper part of me has been doing some competitions, which has kept me away. We just had our most recent competition up in Auckland. We did the nationals. We didn't place as highly as I would like to have, but we didn't come in last, so that was good. But it was a good lot of fun. Anyway, I was calling this episode Got Greenhouse. Maybe I could call it Got Conspiracy Theory, because of some news I just heard about, maybe you heard about as well. In the Tennessee House and Senate, they have just passed HB 2063, which bans the use of aerosols or chemicals being dispersed or sprayed into the air over Tennessee, aka geoengineering or chemtrails. So for those of you who think it's a conspiracy theory that that kind of thing actually does go on, take a look. There's ample evidence if you just look around, but it's not really being published on the mainstream. In fact, I'm still seeing articles in the news calling it a conspiracy theory that the state is going crazy, listening to conspiracy theorists about chemtrails in the air. Well, it's a very real threat. And one of the reasons I wanted to talk about greenhouses today, I'm not going to make this all about how to build your own greenhouse. There's so many good resources online and so many different ways of doing it. If you have any ability to build things at all, I'm sure you'll figure out a way to do it. But I will point you towards some good resources. But one of the motivations to having your own greenhouse ought to be not only to extend your growing season so you can get more food throughout the winter, but also to protect your crops from anything that might be falling from the sky besides sunshine, aka geoengineering. There have been a lot of different chemicals that are being put into these aerosols, aluminum dioxide, not the least of which, ostensibly to protect us from global warming. But whatever you may think about that, surely you cannot believe that aluminum dioxide drifting down from the atmosphere is going to be good for your health. So that's just another reason to motivate you to start thinking about growing your own food undercover if you're able to, where you're able to. Anyway, I'll show you around here a little bit and talk a little bit about the aquaponics system that I've got set up as just another alternative way of growing your food besides just in the ground, in the dirt. So let's get into it. So you can see this whole system has been built out of an old IBC container.
like this one over here and this one where the top has been cut off. And what I've done is just cut off the top maybe quarter of the container and flipped it upside down. And then I've filled it with clay pellets right here, which is all that the roots need to just have something to grab onto. And then the bottom half of the container is full of water and goldfish. Hello, goldfish. And they're not very skittish because I feed them by hand all the time, so they think I'm gonna feed them right now. Sorry guys, you already ate this morning. And anyway, before we get into feeding the fish, the reason for the fish is they obviously defecate and urinate in the water, and they provide ammonia. And that gets pumped from the bottom of the tank there through a little DC pump and up through here, and then just runs back into the upper grow bed, they call it, right here. And what that does is it floods up to a level just below the dry line right there. Periodically, probably, I've got the pump on a timer going about maybe once an hour. I've got the pump plugged into my little automatic timer right here. At the moment, I've got it running on house wiring, but I am also set up to run it on solar if we need to. So the pump is bringing the water from the tank up into the grow bed, and the grow bed has established a microbiome. It converts the ammonia into nitrites and nitrates for fertilizer for the plants. So it's a self-sustaining little mini ecosystem. So the fish provide the fertilizer for the plants. The plants clean out the water and give the fish fresh water coming down through the natural opening in the bottom of the grow bed right there. So it's just a nice little self-contained ecosystem and a great way to grow veggies. And it extends your growing season too. So for plants that are non-tubers, like this wouldn't be very good for potatoes or beetroots. They wouldn't grow real well in this medium. But anything that grows above ground, like your lettuces, peppers, and we got some strawberries here, they do just fine. The main trick is just keeping the right balance of pH and nutrients. And once you get an established system, that should balance itself out real well. Okay, and a little more about the food, about what I'm feeding my little fish helpers, is this is what they normally eat during the week, is lucerne tree or leaves. And I've just dehydrated these. I've done it out, just leaving them out in the sun, or dehydrating them in the oven, just not cooking them, you know, make sure that they're just dehydrated but still green. But the fish really love this, and lucerne tree is actually a really good source of protein, and it grows wild around here, so it's free food for fish, and it's also good for chickens and rabbits. The chickens and rabbits would probably prefer it fresh and green, though, right off the tree. But for fish, with their small little mouths, it's easier when you can dehydrate it and just grind it up into little bite-sized bits. And it gets rehydrated, of course, when it's in the water. But you can see they love it. And then on the weekends, for a treat, I still give them, just so they get maybe a little more protein. So I open this here. And on the weekends, so they get, just to get a little bit of extra animal protein in them, I'll give them, you know, their regular fish pellets. But it really saves on my fish food bill by feeding them mostly just the lucerne. And I'll show you where I get it from. Out here, this is my lucerne tree. And you can see it's just growing like gangbusters here. And this is just one of them. I've got several growing over there on the edge of the garden. And if I didn't keep trimming this thing down every month or so, it would probably be almost as tall as the roof line of this house. So make sure that you have control of it if you don't want it taking over your garden, because they really go crazy. But a lot of cattle farmers, sheep and cow farmers will feed this or supplement their feed with this, and they just love it. So look into that one if you're looking for a nice, easy, sustainable source of food for your aminals. So here's my greenhouse from the outside. Not a huge one, but decent size. It can grow quite a bit in there. I haven't nearly started to utilize all the space in there. I've just got my one little prototype aquaponics system in there. But this one's probably about 10 by 14 feet. And as I mentioned before, I've just used these old freezer panels that somebody was giving away on Marketplace. So they're like aluminum skinned and foam on the inside. So there's a lot you can do with free stuff. I was able to scrounge up some good greenhouse plastic at a really reasonable price, and just basically tacked it to the sides and pinned it down with some wood strips, and it holds it pretty nicely. And the way I've set up the frame here, I'm going to be able to put another skin of greenhouse plastic on the other side of this timber to give me double insulation. So this thing is going to get really warm, even in the winter time, on the coldest days with any sun coming in here at all. Once I get it completely skinned over, the biggest issue is going to be actually keeping it cool enough. And so what I've done is I've cut a large vent up here, and it's got an automatic opening system. It's got like a heat-activated hydraulic system that will open that arm and then close up again at night when it cools off. And then I intend to put a solar fan on the other end of this to help draw air through here, because it can get 80, 90 Fahrenheit, like up to 35, 40 Celsius in here, even on a cool day. So that's obviously a little too warm for the plants, but as it is, even with keeping these vents open, the chili peppers are loving it in here. And the strawberries and the lettuces, everything's pretty happy in here. And I could still pack some more veggies into this grow bed when it comes to it. Again, this is just kind of a prototype and experimenting with different plants in here, but these guys seem to be pretty happy. One thing I have noticed though is, like in the strawberries, they do taste, well, they're a little watery, not surprising because they do get a lot of water. They're probably watered about, 12 times a day, at least 12, 15 times a day on the cycle, which isn't really a problem. It's just that they're probably not getting as many of the minerals and nutrients that they would from actual soil. So that's something to be concerned about, or something to be aware of when you have an aquaponic system. If I had more fish in the tank as well, that would probably go a long way to adding more of the nitrates and other nutrients and fertilizer into the system that they might want. But as it stands, I haven't done a lot to really maintain it, and it's growing quite well. The greenhouse itself is in the middle of some renovations. It had a pretty long, hard couple winters, and it's time to put some new windows on here and clean up, get some painting done on the inside. I've replaced the outside wood panels around here. You can see I've got nice painted old freezer panels that I cut up. They're about 3 inches thick with lots of foam insulation in them. So that's going to help retain a lot of warmth in the wintertime, will improve growing conditions. Also, you can see that I've got corrugated fiberglass for the roofing and sides. I'm going to run some greenhouse plastic over that. We'll add another layer of insulation for the wintertime and still let just as much sunlight through. About how to build your own greenhouse, but just to bring your attention to it and give you some ideas about what you can do to make your own, to get something set up for growing during hard times, or just to extend your growing season throughout the year. So this has all been built
mostly from scrap wood I've scrounged up around on the property or found for free on Marketplace. Found this old door opener. Actually, a neighbor friend who does some construction was going to throw this thing out. And turned out to be real handy as an automatic door closer. So I don't have to worry about the door flying open. Make sure it always stays closed the way it should. And got some old hinges here too from him off of doors. And got this little strip of AstroTurf for free online. Helps keep the weeds down. One of the two things I wanted to bring up regarding preparedness, one is growing your own food. Whether or not you're concerned about future food shortages, it's certainly a good, healthy way to provide your own food and lower that grocery bill. But the other thing I wanted to talk about is your fitness. So I'm gonna put my Trainer John hat on right now and talk about getting physically fit. I'm still wearing my cycling garb here. Just got back from a road ride with my son. And I have to say, he's getting pretty good. I'm having to work hard to keep up with him. But physical fitness is also very important and key. During stressful times, economic downturns, depressions, and the like, physical fitness is one of the things that's really lacking. And just being physically fit helps keep you mentally clear, and keeping yourself well-fed goes a long way to that too. So think about those things, especially in these crazy times coming up. Who knows how much longer we have before some big black swan event. So just wanted to put your mind on those things. I'm sure those of you listening to this podcast are already thinking along those lines, but maybe you can share that with those doubting Thomases out there who are not quite convinced yet.
Okay, and that wraps up this episode of Liberty Now. Thank you again for joining me. And I would be remiss if I didn't also say before we go, a very blessed and happy Easter to all of you who celebrate that holiday out there. Thank you, Jesus, for your sacrifice for our sake. And until next time, folks, be good, do the right thing, and keep asking questions. Bye.